This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, a full-hour drama adapted from one of the best and most debated novels of the 20th century, Theodore Dreiser's Sister Carrie. Sister Carrie was finished in 1900, but went unpublished in America for 7 years. The editors to whom Dreiser submitted it were afraid of its realism, the quality which has been largely responsible for its survival to present times. We bring it to you today in as realistic a version as radio will permit, a version prepared by George Lefferts of NBC. At intermission, we will bring you a recorded commentary on the writings of Theodore Dreiser by Ralph Bates, the novelist, critic, and teacher of creative writing at New York University. Herewith, Sister Carrie by Theodore Dreiser.
Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
You want a room?
Please.
15 cents.
13. 14. I had another penny somewhere.
Oh, forget it. Christmas Eve.
Thank you.
Here, sign your name. Well, sign your name.
My name. I had a name. What was it?
Hey, Mac, are you daydreaming?
Pick up the pen. It'll come to you. Yeah. I remember.
Well, get him. George W. Hurstwood, Esquire. Hey, this way, your esquireship. Take any empty room on the second floor, overlooking the alley.
You're making fun of me.
Now, what gives you that idea, your esquireship?
I won't be made fun of. I wasn't always like this, you know. I manage one of the finest places in Chicago.
Well, this is
New
York.
I'm a family man, sir. Yeah. I have a fine wife and 2 children traveling in Europe.
Yeah, you don't say.
I'll thank you to be civil, sir.
Yeah, why don't you find a room and sleep it off, huh? You'll be all right. And turn off the gas light. We don't like to waste gas.
Gentlemen, there's nothing new to say. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day.
This had any empty room. Oh, it's good to lie down. How did I get here? I used to be a gentleman, respected. Yes, Mr. Hurstwood. No, Mr. Hurstwood. Right away, Mr. Hurstwood. Oh, if only I could sleep. Huh? What's that?
Turn off the gas, George.
Voices. Why don't they leave me alone?
Turn off the gas light.
The light? Oh.
Blow out the flame. Now, turn it off. Turn it off, George. No? It'll put you to sleep, George.
Sleep?
It'll kill you, George.
Oh, what's the difference?
Lie down, George. Breathe, George. They can't hurt you now, George. Carrie can't hurt you.
Carrie?
George.
Carrie? I thought you were sleeping alone. You had a headache.
George.
Why did you hurt me? Why did I have to meet you? Oh, Carrie, Carrie. Why did you ever take that train to Chicago? Why, Carrie? Why?
You know, you can get a flat nose pressing it against a window like that. Be ashamed to spoil such a pretty one. Ah, come on, come on. Don't be so uppity. Been sitting next to you for an hour.
I don't talk to strange men. Not usually, anyway.
What's so strange about me? Friendly Charlie, the ladies' home companion. It's me. I saw you get on at Columbia City. You gonna live in Chicago or just visit, huh?
I'm going to stay with my sister. She and her husband have a home there. 5 rooms. And steam heat. He has a very important job at the stockyards. And I'm going to stay if I can get a job.
Well, say, maybe I could show you around Chicago.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Why not? I'm really harmless, you know. Look, here's my cards. Eh? Bartlett and Cario Company. Wholesale woolens. I travel, you know.
Charles Drouet.
Drouet. French.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. What's your name?
Carrie Meeber.
Where will you be?
354 Van Buren Street, care of S.C. Hansen.
Well, okay, Carrie Meeber, care of S.C. Hansen. I'll drop around and show you the town, huh? Oh, you're going to do fine in Chicago. Just fine.
Carrie.
Minnie.
Honey, how are you? Oh, pretty as ever. How's Ma?
All right.
How was the trip?
Oh, it was wonderful. So many things to see, and I met a fella. He was fresh, but nice looking. He's going to show me the sights.
Oh, I almost forgot. This is my husband, Sven, Carrie. Sven, meet Sister Carrie.
Can I help with the laundry?
Oh, don't bother. You don't want those pretty hands to get all rough and red like mine.
You look thinner, Min. Tired, too.
I keep busy.
Where's Sven?
He went for some milk.
Don't you take ice?
Ice costs money.
Oh. Min, it's all right, isn't it? I mean, my staying here. I didn't know the place was so small.
Oh, of course it's all right.
Well, I'll be able to pay you when I find a job.
Don't you worry about that.
Sven's been so quiet.
Sven's not a talker. How do you like Chicago?
Oh, Min, it's everything I ever dreamed about. Like a storybook.
You always were the dreamer.
I want to see it all, Min. Oh, just the thought of ever going back to Columbia City after this gives me the willies. You know what I'd like to do tonight?
What?
Go to a play. I'll take you and Sven, too.
Oh, Sven wouldn't go, honey. He reads his paper after supper.
Oh, well, I think I'll go down and stand in the doorway a while. I like to watch the people go by.
The supper will be ready soon.
Here's milk. 8 cents a quart. They should be put in jail. Supper's ready?
In a minute.
6 o'clock. Supper should be on table.
In a minute.
Where's your sister Carrie?
She went down to stand in the door.
It don't look good, a girl standing in the door.
Oh, Sven.
It's cheap.
She's only standing in the door.
I don't want it. You tell her.
All right. I'll tell her.
We don't want a bad name. A girl like that can give us a bad name. I could see it in her face. She took up with that young fellow on the train.
For heaven's sake, she's only standing in the door.
It ain't nice.
Nice, nice. What do you know about what's nice? Is this thinking flat so nice?
Minnie, if this girl makes you so unhappy, maybe one of you better go away.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Carrie. Waited for you last night.
I couldn't get away. I had to help Min.
How's the job situation?
I couldn't get anything today either.
Oh, it's been a week now. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I can't stay with Min much longer. I've run out of what little money I had.
Ooh, feel that Chicago wind. Say, you ought to have a winter coat on, aren't you cold?
Little, but I don't have a winter coat.
Look, Kara, why don't you let me help you?
Oh, you've been awfully nice already, Charlie. Taking me around and showing me the city and buying me lunches and dinner.
No. I told you I enjoyed that. I mean really helping.
How?
Look, see this, Carrie? This is money. Take it. Get yourself a winter coat and a hat, too. It'll help you get a decent job if you're dressed well.
Oh, I couldn't take it, Charlie.
Carrie, what can you do alone? Let me help you.
No.
Look, we'll just call it a loan, see? You can repay me when you get a job.
But $25...
No. Look, take it. It's easy. Just close your hand. That's it, like that. Presto.
You're a good friend, Charlie. You're the only friend I've got in this city. Do you like this one?
It looks good enough to eat. We'll take it, miss. And we'll take the gloves with the lace and the red parasol. How much is that? Take a look in the mirror.
Ooh.
Having fun?
Oh, it's wicked, but I never had so much fun. Do you know something?
What, Kat?
I never knew it before, but I'm pretty.
You help Carrie pack her things.
Oh, Sven.
I said help her pack. I give you just 5 minutes.
Well, who do you think you...
It's all right, Min.
But you have no place to go. Sven, you just can't...
I go outside now. You. Take all your things. I like the house to be clean.
Oh, I'm sorry, Care.
The way he looked at me.
That's the way he is. You'll be better off back in Columbia City, Carrie. You will.
I'm not going back, Min. I'm not going to live like that. And I'm not going to live like this, like you and Sven.
That's easy to say.
I'm going to be a lady and have fine things.
Sometimes fine things cost more than money. You can't be alone without friends in a city like Chicago, Carrie.
I have a friend. I have a good friend, Min. He's a gentleman.
Just a minute. I said just a minute for crying out loud. You don't have to Carrie.
You told me to come to you if I needed help, Charlie.
Yeah, but I never expected...
I can't stay at my sister's. Sven threw me out.
Well,
I thought you'd help me find a place.
Look, it's pretty late tonight.
I know.
Oh? Well, come in. Come in, Care. I'll take your suitcase. Carrie?
That you, Charlie? Just a minute. I was just fixing a bite. Oh, I didn't know you had someone with you.
Yeah, Carrie, I want you to meet George Hurstwood, the manager of Chicago's swankiest salon. George is Carrie.
Holding at Fitzgerald and Moy's, we call it salon. How do you do, Mrs. Drouet?
How do you do?
I was having a drink over at George's, and we got talking. I asked him home for supper, and... Well, here we are.
But I hadn't prepared anything special.
Oh, it's quite all right. I tried to talk Charlie out of it, but he insisted you wouldn't mind.
Well, just have a seat, Mr. Hurstwood. I'll fix up an extra place.
Thank you. By the way, Charlie, you might put this bottle of sack on ice.
Oh, I sure will. Just a minute, Kerr. I'm coming back to the kitchen.
Charlie, why did you do it?
Ah, no, George is all right. It's a good fellow for me to know, too. Manages Fitzgerald and Moyes. That's a way up swell place, you know.
Doesn't know about us, I mean.
What do you think I am?
Well, I wish you hadn't. I don't like it. There's something about his eyes that frightens me.
More wine, Mrs. Drouet?
No, thank you.
Charlie?
Just a full glass, thanks. Say, what is this anyway, Ambrosia?
A special vintage south of France. I picked it up last year on a buying trip for Fitzgerald and Moy.
You've been to Europe, Mr. Hurstwood?
Oh, just on business last year. I go over to buy special liqueurs for special customers.
That sounds exciting.
I went to Texas once. I've never been the same.
By the way, Charlie, what did you use to win Mrs. Drouet? Hypnotism?
Just my natural persuasive smile and an old elk's tooth left to me by my grandfather.
That the truth, Mrs. Drouet?
Charlie says so.
By the way, Charlie, why didn't I hear about the wedding? I'd have set a case or something.
Oh, it was just a quiet affair. He can still send it, though.
What would the lady like, imported liqueur or domestic whiskey?
Oh, imported liqueur.
No, Carrie doesn't know a thing about it, George. You send the whiskey.
On the contrary, Mrs. Drouet shows rare judgment. The liqueur is much better. I'll send that.
Thank you, Mr. Hurstwood.
Pleasure. Charlie doesn't understand people like us, Mrs. Drouet. We're romantics. Charlie is practical. Be a practical fellow, Charlie. Get some more ice for this wine.
Okay, but no jokes about traveling salesmen while I'm gone.
Charlie should have a piano in here.
Oh, neither of us play.
I should think being in the room with you, it would play itself.
You're very flattering.
I'm honest. I mean every word I say. Good night, Charlie, Mrs. Drouet. You must both be my theater guests next Tuesday.
Oh, I'm leaving on a trip for the firm, but thanks anyway.
Oh? How about Mrs. Drouet, then? Break up her loneliness.
That's very kind of you.
Oh, not at all. I'll drop by Tuesday. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Charlie, I feel so ashamed.
Ashamed?
When he began to ask when we were married.
Oh, now, Carol, look.
You promised we would be married, Charlie.
Yeah, and so we will. We will. I just gotta close a few deals and do it proper.
George Hurstwood, don't tell me you're planning to go out again tonight.
Why, yes, Julia. I have some business down at the office.
I was hoping you'd stay at home and hear Jessica practice for her recital.
Jessica does very well without me.
She is your daughter. I hardly get to see you these days.
I know that, Julia.
Well, I'm the last person to be a nagging wife,
please,
but...
Please, Julia, let's not go through that again.
Why do you always jump at me?
I am not jumping. If you'll excuse me, I'd like to get at my bath. Thank you. Did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Drouet?
Oh, it was wonderful. Only I think they were a bit too hard on the villain. He wasn't really a bad fellow.
Most villains aren't, once you get to understand them. Come on, I have a carriage waiting to drive you home.
Where are we now?
North Shore. Why do you ask?
The houses are beautiful.
They're very fine.
I think there's nothing I'd like better than to be a fine lady and live in such a house.
Do you think the people in those houses are so much happier?
They must be. Do you know anyone who lives in a house like that?
Oh, yes. Very well.
And is he happy?
He's lonely. Or I should say he was lonely.
What happened?
He met someone, a princess. Only she was disguised as a scullery maid.
And then what happened?
They turned into pumpkins.
You're not satisfied living with Charlie, are you?
Well, whatever made you say a thing like that? Why, Charlie and I, we...
Well?
You mustn't look at me that way.
I'm afraid I can't help it.
You're holding my hand.
I mean to.
I won't let you. Take me home, please.
Very well. Would you like to drive?
I never tried.
Oh, it's easy. Take the reins. You see? Anything's easy if you have the courage to try it.
Perhaps when you have gentle horses.
They used to be quite bad-tempered. I tamed them myself.
Oh, I'm surprised they let you.
They wanted me to.
That's strange.
Not so strange. They're mares.
You talk so strangely. Differently from any man I've ever met.
I'm inspired. I've fallen in love with you.
You mustn't talk like that.
Why not? Carrie, the moment I saw you the other night, something happened. You felt it too. Admit it.
No.
Don't look away. You know I'm saying I love you.
Please.
I love you.
You mustn't say that.
I want you. I need you.
No.
Tell me you feel the same way.
It's wrong.
Tell me.
I can't.
Say it. Say it.
I...
Carrie.
I love you.
George, will you put that paper down and listen?
Well?
I want you to get us a season ticket to the races. Oh, you've put on that dreadful necktie again.
I like this necktie.
It's cheap.
Why do you want a season ticket? You won't use it.
I want a season ticket.
All right, don't get mad.
I'm not mad. I'm merely asking you for a season ticket.
And I'm telling you it's no easy thing to get.
You know the manager.
It costs $150.
I'll not argue with you.
Well, if you want it so much, you get it.
George, you've been unbearable lately.
Me? Now, look here, Julia. Oh, who's that?
Probably Dr. Beale. Said he'd drop by with some tonic for Jessica. I'd better get it.
Let the girl get it.
Mary's got the morning off. I'll get it. Hello, doctor. Come in.
Thanks, no. I'm in a rush. Thought I'd drop this off. How's the patient?
Oh, much better, thank you.
This should do it. By the way, you don't speak to friends when you meet them out driving, do you?
Why, if I see them, I do. Where was it?
On the North Shore.
Oh, I don't remember.
Last night. You were with your husband after the theater.
Oh, I think you're mistaken.
I know I saw your husband. Perhaps he was with Jessica.
Perhaps. Of course, it must have been Jessica.
She shouldn't be riding around with that cold. Well, I must run.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye.
George, who were you riding with last night?
Now listen, Julia. You've been searching for some cheap accusation for months. Now you think you'll spring it and get the upper hand. Well, you won't. I'm master of my house, and you or anyone else won't dictate to me.
I'm not dictating. I'm merely telling you I want season tickets to the races.
And I'm telling you what you'll get. There'll be no money for tickets.
Perhaps you'll talk to my lawyers.
You wouldn't.
No.
Yes, I believe you would. All right, then, do it and be darned. I'll have nothing more to do with you.
George?
Oh, you came. Thank heaven, Carrie. I was beginning to think you wouldn't.
I had to see Charlie off to Detroit. Your note sounded urgent.
It was. I have to talk to you, Carrie, very seriously.
About what?
Carrie, I'm going to leave Chicago soon. Something's come up. I can't talk about it. But, well, I'm going to have to leave Fitzgerald and Moy because of it. I'm thinking of going into business for myself in New York.
New York?
I want you to go with me, Carrie. I need you.
Leave Charlie?
What good is there in staying with him? You're not happy. He's bewildered, poor fellow. I'm wretched. It's no use, Carrie. I have to have you.
Oh, couldn't we wait? I'll find out when Charlie's going to be away, and we could meet.
Oh, meet, sneak, hide. I'm fed up with that sort of thing. No, Carrie, I got to know now. If I were to come for you sometime next week or even tonight and tell you I couldn't stay another moment, would you go with me? Would you?
Yes, George.
You wouldn't stop to argue or ask questions?
Not if you didn't want.
I'll come for you, Care. We'll go to New York. I'll make you a fine lady, Carrie. A fine lady with all the things you've ever dreamed of. You could get your divorce from Charlie.
And we could be married.
Eventually.
New York. I've always longed to see New York.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a radio version of Sister Carrie by Theodore Dreiser. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Mr. Ralph Bates.
Of recent years, we have heard rather too much about Theodore Dreiser's faults. It is true that he lacks wit and the power to illuminate, and it can't be denied that his novels have no grace of style. At their best, his square-footed statements are powerful, but they are often long-winded, and in such books as The Financier and The Titan, he shovels such mountains of social fact upon our heads that we almost become insensible to his truths. But these criticisms all refer to how Dreiser spoke, not to what he said. Against his faults of expression must be set many virtues. The least of these was his stout common sense in matters where common sense is enough. The greatest of his merits, the one that gave him courage, was a deep moral earnestness that would never be content with a merely fashionable or frivolous answer to the important problems he raised. And, uncouth as he was better fitted for his task than some of his critics have thought. For example, because his methods showed little imagination, it has been said that Dreiser had no insight into character. That is plain nonsense. Compare An American Tragedy with Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, a book that is once again and quite properly in vogue. In all points of style, Fitzgerald is superior to Dreiser. He is swift, vivid, and suggestive, where Dreiser is slow and heavy-footed. But there is a striking similarity in what the two men have to say about man's soul, and sometimes the advantage is with the older writer. There is more than a touch of special pleading in Fitzgerald, and none in Dreiser. One might say that Fitzgerald's story is a break in the clouds, while Dreiser's is a great gray mountain, rather shapeless, but massive and bold. The fact is, Dreiser had sound insight into personality, and it led him to ask the vital question, what makes a man weak or strong, good or evil? That was his real theme, from Sister Carrie right through to the end. And it says as much for his optimism as for his charity, that he came to associate evil with weakness and goodness with the power to love. No doubt he was one-sided in An American Tragedy when he put all the blame for Clyde Griffith's fate upon society. But even there, he does not so much lash at society as take it by the shoulder and say, look at what your false values have done. He had the bigness to do that, and the moral dignity, and it is these qualities that place him squarely in the American tradition as we see it in such writers as Hawthorne, Melville, Howells, and Mark Twain.
Thank you, Mr. Bates. Our radio version of Sister Carrie will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Understand why you had to take a compartment when we had two perfectly good coach seats. We're only going to Montreal.
I love to travel in style. We didn't have time to make a reservation at the station. Would you snap the lock, please?
Oh, there's no need to.
Please.
Very well. You seem very upset.
It isn't every day I run off with another man's girl. And besides, I'm carrying a great deal of money. I'm concerned. What's that? Don't answer it.
Doctor.
Oh.
Just checking, sir. Are you the gentleman who took the compartment after we left Chicago? Name of Wheeler?
Oh, no, that's not...
That's right, sir. George W. Wheeler.
Here's your ticket, sir.
Thank you.
We'll reach Montreal about 6.
Thank you.
Why did you tell him your name was Wheeler?
I didn't want Drouet to be able to put detectives on our trail. Just to be safe. Besides, I want to make a fresh start with you, Kara. So I thought I'd take a new name. Will you mind being Mrs. Wheeler instead of Mrs. Hurstwood?
Hurstwood's ever so much more dignified. But I guess I'll get used to Wheeler.
Do you, George, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
And do you, Caroline, take this man, George, to be your lawful wedded husband, to honor and cherish in sickness and in health, for better or for worse?
I do.
Then, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the government of Canada, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Paper, sir?
Let me have a New York Times and a Chicago paper. Here you are.
Thank you.
Chicago firm of Fitzgerald and Moy swindled by manager. Picture, too. Not very flattering, George. You'll have to trim that mustache, George.
Well, you're back soon, George.
Help me pack. We're catching the next train to New York.
New York? But I thought...
I just read of an excellent business investment in the New York Times. I don't want to miss it. Please, Care, we'll have to hurry. There's a train... Oh, who the devil?
Well, why not open it? Is something wrong?
No. I'll answer. Yes?
Hello. Could we have a talk, laddie?
I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry.
You're not anymore, laddie.
I don't understand.
You will, Mr. Hurstwood. Shall we talk, laddie?
Not here in the hallway.
Who is it, dear?
Just a man to see about the baggage. I'm going to step out for a minute. I'll be right back. Now, sir, you've made a mistake. My name is Wheeler.
It's no use to play games, laddie. I've been on your trail all the way from Chicago.
Are you a detective?
Well, not exactly. I work for the firm that insured Fitzgerald and Moy. Naturally, we're interested in seeing the money returned to them. The $10,000 that you got away with, laddie.
And if I refuse?
I'm told stealing is dishonest, laddie. They arrest people.
You couldn't arrest me in Canada.
That could be fixed in a few hours. You wouldn't get far. Now, why don't you be a smart young fellow and give it back, hmm? Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Moy promised not to prosecute. Well, what do you say, laddie?
I've spent $500.
I don't believe it, laddie. But if you want to keep $500 and pay it back later, Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Moy wouldn't mind, I'm sure. They'd be glad to get the rest. They like you, laddie. Think you're a gentleman.
Where do I send the money?
Right back where you got it. Only I'll go along and watch. Just to make sure.
I give you my word as a gentleman.
Laddie, in my business, you don't trust anyone. But especially, you don't trust gentlemen.
This is New York, Kerr. How do you like it? Almost 1 million people here now.
Don't they have any front lawns?
Not in New York.
I don't like it.
I'm sure you and Mrs. Wheeler will be very comfortable here. It has the latest improvements, including steam heat, a speaking tube, and a stationary gas range. And all for only $25 a month.
Now, if you'll just sign here, Mr. Wheeler, the furniture will be delivered tomorrow. Our men will call each month to collect the payments.
Why, yes, Mr. Wheeler, we did advertise for a manager. You have references from your last position, of course.
Well, as a matter of fact, I don't have any references.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wheeler. Let's not waste each other's time.
No, Mr. Wheeler, we couldn't engage anyone for a responsible executive position without references from his last place.
No, no, no. Not without a full resume of past employment. Mr. Wheeler, try somewhere else.
George?
Yes, dear.
You look tired. Did you get the position with Albion Company?
No, after investigating, I turned it down. Not enough responsibility for a man with my experience.
Oh, well, you'll get something. We've enough money to live comfortably for a long while. I thought we might go to a play tonight.
If you don't mind, Kara, I'd like to just sit and read my paper.
Well, it's just that we haven't really gone out since we came to New York. And it isn't as if we were starving.
Well, until I get settled, though, we must be a little careful. You understand, don't you, Kara?
I don't know if I do or not. When I left Chicago with you, I thought I understood. But somehow things have changed. They weren't the way I thought they would be.
Well, sometimes we have to wait a while for dreams to materialize.
Yes, I know that. But somehow, somewhere between here and Montreal, we seem to have lost a dream.
Lord, it's cold today. Stop walking around. There's the Hotel Winston. Nice, warm lobby.
Yeah.
I could stop in the lounge and warm up a bit. Read my paper. That sounds nice. And then I'll go out and look for work again. Of course. You feel better. Make a better impression.
Read all about it. Get your latest paper.
I'll just buy a
paper.
Whirl.
Get your evening
That's
paper.
Right. Be read nice
all
to sit
about
and read.
It.
Paper, mister?
Yes, let me have a World and a Sporting Journal.
Yes, sir.
And there you are.
Thanks.
Paper! Get your latest paper.
I shouldn't have done that. Papers cost money. Oh, put up a front.
I'll feel better after I've warmed up.
Sure you will. Ah, this is more like it. Warmth, thick carpets, nice, comfortable chairs. I'll just sit here a while. Yeah, let's see. 80,000 jobless, one of the worst winters in years. Oh, well. Transit workers, certain strike. What do they want to do that for? They ought to be glad they're working. Maybe I'll just take a little nap. It's too late to see anyone else today anyway. Nice to be where it's warm. Where you don't have to think.
Going out looking for work this morning?
She's pushing you. Pushing you.
The paper says snow.
It says snow every day.
I think I'll stay home today. I haven't been feeling too chipper. I think I've got a cold coming on.
Oh, that's too bad. You should do something for it.
I think I'll just look over the want ads.
Well, that isn't the want ad section. It's over here.
She's been looking at it.
I circled a few things you might want to look at. When you feel well enough to go out, I mean.
Well, thanks, dear.
Are you going to stay in those old clothes?
Well, yes. I thought as long as I was just sitting around the house, it'd be a shame to wear a good suit.
Someone might call.
Who?
Mrs. Vance from across the hall spends some time with me in the afternoons. She might drop in.
Well, she needn't see me.
There she goes with that look again.
Look here, Carrie. We have to economize. I have to look presentable when I go out. I can't wear out my good suit.
But don't be angry, George. It's just that Well, I'd like Mrs. Vance to see my husband looking neat.
Well, I don't care if she sees me looking like a rag picker. This is my house, and I'll dress as I please in it. You understand?
Yes, George. I'm beginning to understand a great deal.
George, breakfast is ready. George? George, it's almost...
Oh, that's funny. He's gone out. And in his old clothes. I wonder where.
All right. Quiet down. Now, let me warn you. This isn't child's play. You'll be given work and paid $2.25 a day, but the risk is your own. You'll have adequate police protection. Anybody wants to leave, now's the time to step out. All right. All you men are staying. I'll take you one at a time. You.
Yes, sir.
Step up in this car. Name?
Wheeler.
All right, Wheeler. Now, you see this handle? This throws the current on and off. Here, you try it.
All right, Wheeler. I'll be your police escort on this trip. Now, you just do as I said, and nobody'll get hurt. Now, come on, take it away.
There's a passenger signaling up ahead.
Yeah, he's up to no good. Give him the go, boy.
You lousy no-good scab!
Ah, bad cess to you. Keep going.
There's a bunch of men up ahead.
Pass them. Stop for all ladies and kids.
There's something on the track.
Oh, the dirty scum. They've piled some rocks on the track. I'll have to stop and clear the track. Go ahead, I'll cover you.
They look nasty.
Yeah, jump down and clear the track. Hurry up now. All right. Care back. I'm warning you now.
Go ahead, you dirty scab. Do the company's dirty work.
They're going to starve you and your crew. You're better than a type of a policeman.
Ah, shut your trap, you old hag. Keep those stones away, Wheeler.
I'm doing the best I can.
All right.
Hey, partner. What did that quit? Be a man, why don't you? We're just fighting for decent wages.
Don't listen to their assets. Keep it those stones.
Come on, partner. Don't fight the fool. Leave that to the corporation.
Get back. All right, Wheeler. That's fair enough. Now climb aboard.
Don't do it, partner. Stay off.
Let go of my coat.
Let go of him.
Hey, let go.
All right, you dirty scab. Hey. The back of the boss is taking with you.
No, oh, I want you, mister.
Come on, boy. Give the scab. Get him out.
George, what happened? Your face.
You wanted me to go out and get work.
What happened?
I found a job. I'm a strike breaker. I hope you're satisfied now. They beat me up.
Come to bed. I'll get some cold water and bandages.
Oh, sure. Fix me up. Fix me up so tomorrow morning you can send me out again.
George, you're out of your head. You don't know what you're saying.
You hate me, don't you?
George.
You hate me. When I had money, I was fine. You're like the rest.
Please stop it, George.
Oh, my
head. Here, lie down. Oh. That's right.
You weren't satisfied when I gave up everything for you. You had to take my manhood away, too.
Oh, George, stop it. You're my husband.
Husband? We're not married.
Don't say that.
Oh, I got a wife and two children in Chicago.
You're lying.
Oh, am I? That marriage in Montreal was nothing but bigamy.
George, stop it. We are married. We are.
It's nothing. It's just like you and Drew.
Oh, no, it isn't. We're married, George. We're married. We are.
Oh. Gary. Care?
Gary. Gary.
Yes, George.
Where are you, Gary? I'm sick. My head.
I'm right here.
Where?
By your side.
Let me feel your hand. Cool. It's so cool.
You have a fever.
I dreamed you went away.
I'd better get a doctor.
Your coat is on. Why is your coat on?
I was going for a doctor.
Don't go away, Kara. Oh, don't ever leave me.
I won't.
It's you and me, Kara, isn't it? You and me.
You and me.
Better or worse?
Better or worse?
Oh, don't cry, Kara. Things will be all right. I know it. I'm going to get a job. I had an offer only today. I met Cargill, old acquaintance. He wants me to go in with him this fall. Manage your big woolen chain. Very big.
Go to sleep.
Very big.
Feeling better, George?
Yes, thank you.
Here's your paper. There's some news about the strike.
Oh? I'll be anxious to see that.
I'm going out for a while.
Where?
Just out. I'll be back before supper.
Very well.
You say you've had no experience on the stage, dearie?
No, none.
Well, sorry, hon. Try us when you've had some experience.
No, baby, not without experience. You know what I mean?
But I thought you found work for actors and actresses.
I do, baby. But not without experience. Know what I mean?
They told me to see Mr. Daly.
That's me.
I need a job. They said you were opening a review.
Hoofer?
I beg your pardon?
Ever dance?
Oh, a little.
What's your name?
Carrie.
Carrie what?
Carrie Madenda.
Carrie Madenda? Sounds like you got it off a cigar ad. Step back a little. Now hold it. Lift. Okay, drop around the theater in the morning.
You mean I got a job?
Isn't that what you wanted?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
We open at 8 sharp. Oh, Miss Madenda.
Yes?
Come in here a moment, please.
Yes, Mr. Daly?
How long are you with us now?
6 months.
Mr. Steinbrook likes your work.
I'm glad.
He wants me to put you under contract.
Contract for what?
Oh, we're doing a new musical next fall. He'd like you to understudy the lead.
Are you joking?
Mr. Steinbrook says you're a natural. Who am I to argue with Mr. Steinbrook?
How did it go, Carrie?
I'm going to get a new contract to understudy the lead.
I bought some lard and some meat. The man was here for the rent.
Oh?
I'm out of my money, Carrie. We'll have to spend yours.
How much do you need?
About $40.
George, aren't you even going to try to find work?
I have tried. You can't make them give you work.
George, you've changed. When we met, you were a man. You were alive. Now you've changed. You.
Are you sorry I wasn't killed in that strike? I tried, didn't I? You needn't throw your blasted success in my face.
All I ask is a little help. I'm not down yet. I'll come up all right.
All right, George. Here's the money. $40.
Carrie? That's funny. She's not here. Carrie? She couldn't have... Oh, there's a note. Dear George, this time I mean it. I'm sorry, but I can't stay with you any longer. It just wouldn't work. Enclosed fine $50. Do what you like with the furniture. She's left me. Carrie,
where are you? Carrie, don't leave me. Carrie.
What is it, Daly?
Star trouble, Mr. Steinbrook.
What's the matter?
Maud Clary's doctor called. She can't make it for tonight's performance.
What?
They think it's pneumonia.
Oh, murder.
Should I close the box off?
No. Tell the understudy to get ready. She's playing the lead role tonight.
A new star appeared on the horizon when lovely Carrie Madenda, understudy for the ailing Maud Clary, stepped into the lead of Three Sons last night. Miss Madenda appeared a trifle nervous at the outset, but...
But as the evening wore on, she began to play with a forcefulness and sensitivity not often seen on the New York stage in the memory of his critic.
They liked me.
They liked her. Well, more power to her. I hope she breaks her leg.
I'm going to get a big apartment and fine dresses and all the things I ever wanted.
I beg your pardon, sir. Could you spare a few pennies? I seem to have forgotten my wallet.
Well, remember me? Friendly Charlie Drouet, the ladies' home companion.
Charlie, how did you know where I was?
Well, I'm in New York. I go to the theater, and who walks out but Carrie? My little Carrie. Star now, famous actress. I couldn't resist coming up. Aren't you going to ask me in?
Of course, Charlie. Come in.
Well. Some class. you come a long way, Carrie. You look different, too. You're not married?
No. No, I'm not married.
Oh, by the way, I met Ursula the other day.
George?
Yeah.
Where?
6th Avenue. He tried to bum a nickel for a cup of coffee.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You were wise not to stay with him, Care. Once a man steals, you
steals?
Know...
Steals?
Well, the $10,000 he took from Fitzgerald and Moyes. Ah, you know about that.
George stole $10,000?
Oh, who are you kidding, Care?
Oh, no, Charlie. Please tell me about it.
But it was in all the papers. Of course, he returned the money to Montreal, but... Say, weren't you with him? Yeah, you did run off with him, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But I didn't know about the money.
Well, like I always say, once a fella does a thing like that, he's through. Aside from running off and leaving his family, he can't get a job anywhere.
So that was it.
Never figure out what makes a guy do a thing like that. He certainly must have wanted you a lot more than I did.
Yes, Charlie. I never realized how much.
Say, Carrie, you aren't still soft on that bum, are you?
I wonder where he is. I wonder if I could find him and help him.
All right, what do you want?
I want to get into the theater to see Miss Madenda.
Well, that's fine. Beat it.
No, please. She knows me. Just tell her, George.
I said beat it.
You don't understand. I'm a very
good
friend.
All right, buddy, you asked for it. Now, one, two, three, enough.
Hello, Arthur.
Oh, hello, Miss Medenda. Nice performance tonight.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Miss Medenda. I'll have your cab in a second.
You look upset. Anything wrong?
No, just usual number of bums looking for handouts. Bums. I never saw so many bums in my life.
Say, Harry, check the upstairs rooms, will you? I think one of those bums has blown out the flame and forgotten to turn off the gas.
Look at the snow. We're going to have a white Christmas.
Holy smokes. This fellow's dead. What's his name? Hurstwood.
Did you see that man slip in the snow? Don't men look funny when they slip and fall? I wonder if I'll ever see George again.
Nothing new this day. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
You have been listening to Sister Carrie, an NBC Theater production of the novel by Theodore Dreiser. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas, Washington State College, Pullman, Washington, the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, the Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas, and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the encyclopedia as prizes to the student doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Next week, be with us again at the NBC Theater for a dramatization of Ellen Glasgow's fine novel, The Romantic Comedians, and the following week for Sherwood Anderson's Dark Laughter. Sister Carrie was prepared for broadcast by George Lefferts. Kay Stewart was Sister Carrie, and Hurstwood was Marvin Miller. The cast included Jeff Corey, Jack Carrington, Tony Barrett, Gene Tatum, Walter Burke, Lynn Whitney, Jim Nusser, Jan Arvan, Jerry Farber, Donald Morrison, Frank Gerstle, Ralph Montgomery, Paul McVeigh, and Dick Ryan. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Our intermission commentator was Mr. Ralph Bates, whose commentary was recorded. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. Today is Sunday, and this evening, the Theater Guild on the Air on NBC will bring you a full hour of entertaining comedy and drama when it presents two stars, Dorothy McGuire and Cornell Wilde, in Coquette. For an entertaining performance of a famous stage hit, be sure to join Dorothy McGuire and Cornell Wilde on Theater Guild on the Air this evening on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.